We're the home of Big Z Sports, 99.9 WTUZ. Good evening and welcome to our winter edition of Big Z Sports. It's brought to you tonight by TMK Valley Propane, Michael Taylor Allstate Insurance Agency, Chuck Nicholson GMC Mazda, Kime Lumber, Parkway Superstore, Benchmark Construction, and Action Extreme Sports. Now, it's on Big Z Sports.
Welcome into the Big Z Sports Show on Z Country 99.9. Joe Geckler, Chris Kale, Eric McElroy. We're live in the Benchmark Construction Studios, and we're live on Facebook, WTUZ, Big Z Sports. You can follow us on Twitter at @Big_Z Sports, and of course, the Weaver Appliance text line, 330-339-9399. Fellas, we have a pretty busy first of the hour, our first hour of the show. We got another interview coming up in the 7 o'clock hour. So, high school sports, it is in full effect right now, guys. And we got boys basketball, girls basketball, wrestling, bowling, and whatever else they do in the winter.
you teased the rundown there, Joe. All the boys and girls tournament action. Chris with our high school sports update for the week, and we'll look ahead to all the tourney action for the weekend. All our interviews that we have tonight, Dover basketball boys head coach, BVK, also probably known as Bob Von Kennel, Indian Valley's Jamie Herman, Dave Shutt from Garraway will join us. College basketball, the Big Ten tourney is happening. All the NBA action from the week. From The Athletic in Cleveland, Zach Meisel will join us to talk about the Cleveland Indians and how spring training's going. Joe is even able to squeeze in a Reds question with the Tribe beat writer there for The Athletic. Yay or nay to. And we have polls also. Polls, too, to get to tonight.
The polls are classic. Kind of forgot the about one. Them. The one poll is the best, I think, poll we've had in 3 years.
Do we want to hear the polls right now?
Yes.
While we're talking about worth a drum roll, wouldn't you say tonight? By the way, we're on Facebook Live, as Joe said, brought to you by Speedy Septic there in Strasburg. The polls tonight, there's quite a few of them. I'll save the best one for last. You can see them all on Facebook and Twitter, WTUZ Big Z Sports on Facebook, @Big_Z Sports on Twitter. All right, Ohio State, Penn State tonight. I don't want your prediction yet. Want it later. Although it does tip off here pretty soon. Now we know Buckeyes, they fell three times in Big Ten play this year. Two of those times to Penn State, who they play tonight. So we want to know who wins the third matchup between these two teams. You guys can vote right now. Also, our Friday poll question, driven by Parkway Ford and Lincoln Superstore there in Dover. Are the Cavs in trouble? Yes, not their year. No, they'll figure it out. We'll talk about that in our NBA segment. And lastly, there's two more questions than that. Baseball spring training, we're about a week in or something like that,
roughly.
Boys?
Yep.
Roughly, give or take. You ready for baseball season already? That's one of the questions. And then lastly, the question of the night. Don't know if you heard, but Cavs shooting guard J.R. Smith, he was suspended for last night's game. We were all wondering, what'd he do? What happened?
Conduct detrimental to the team.
Yeah, and Joe, what would that conduct that's deemed detrimental
I'm just
be?
Wondering if I did this, I would get suspended for a game.
Yes.
It depends on if it were hot or not. J.R. Smith suspended for throwing a bowl of soup, apparently, at Cavs assistant coach Damon Jones, which did play for the Cavs back in the first LeBron era. I don't even know what to make of this story. I mean, was it still in the can? Campbell's Chunky Soup? I really don't know. The options, did he throw chicken noodle, vegetable, tomato, or minestrone? That's your final
I think it was a
right
lobster
there.
Bisque.
I don't know. Those basketball players are pretty fancy. It may have been a lobster bisque. New England clam chowder.
There you go.
Could be chili on a cold night.
I wonder if they can spell minestrone.
Minestrone?
Minestrone, 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 whatever you want.
I had to look it up to make sure I was spelling it right. So.
Well, guys, we got a busy first of the hour. If you want to participate in the program, jump on our Facebook page, like Eric said, WTUZ, Big Z Sports, and answer all those questions. And we'll pick up, we'll do some comments later on. I know the one question has some comments based, so we'll get to that as well. But we'll have fun with those coming up probably in the 7 o'clock hour. But 6 o'clock hour is going to be dedicated to high school sports. And right now, Chris Kale has our high school sports report. Take it away, Chris Kale.
Wow, okay. I thought we were going to break, but let's do it. Boys basketball action on a Wednesday. Number 7, Dover, they picked up its first ever Division I tournament win with a 58-37 win over number 10 seed Austin Town. Fitch, Nick Millender led the Tornadoes with 13 points. Cade Rusiger with 12. Dover travels to number 2 Lake for a sectional title tomorrow at 7. Of course, beat them Blue Streaks.
Whatever. Go Lake, of course, L-A-K-E.
Who's singing next Friday night?
You know what? I didn't think about that. We you want to wager that?
Sure. Hold on. I'm always down.
Do we want to wager that?
I'm always down.
All right. Let it be done. Let it be written.
Do we spit and shake?
Not after you did that. But whoever wins this matchup tomorrow night, the loser will be singing the winter school's fight song.
Hold up. So. Are you here next week, Chris?
Yes.
Okay.
Can't wait for that.
Yes.
Warm up those pipes, Kale. That's all I can say.
All right. So in Division II action, of course, we will talk about Indian Valley, the number 1 seed. They host number 18 Carrollton tomorrow. New Philadelphia, the 5 seed. They host number 9 Steubenville. And number 16 West Holmes travels to number 7 Philo. Those games all tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. Division 3 from Tuesday, number 3 Garaway defeated West Muskingum 75-46 and will host number 8 Bel Air tonight at 7 o'clock for a sectional title. Number 2 Sandy Valley, they hammered Buckeye Local 66-22. Dan Bartholomew 17 points for the Cards. Number 13 Tusky Valley, they upset Coshocton 52-48 behind Jeremy Salvo's 21 points.
And Chris, after that, those two teams will now play each other in the next round. Oh, that's tonight at 7 o'clock. So
it is for that sectional title. Number 5, Ridgewood took care of Edison 70-53 as Chase Griffith dropped 22. They will travel to number 4, Fort Fry, tomorrow for the sectional championship at 7. Division 4, Joe.
Oh, Division 4, number 1, Strasburg. They drilled Bellsville 75-17. Andrew Cregan led the way with 17 points. They host the number 9 Bishop Rosecrans tonight at 7 for the sectional title. And a big happy birthday to one of our favorite Strasburg athletes, Race King. Turns 18 years of age today.
Wow.
Happy birthday, Race.
Hey, Strasburg in that game led 50-8 at halftime. It was over then. 10 different Tigers and they scored in that game. So
I wonder if
they
Race,
were sharing the rock.
I wonder if Race is going to go out and buy himself a lottery ticket.
That he can do now.
He can do that now. Number 2, Highland, they buried Newcomerstown 67-24. Kendall Hostetler dropped 13 as the Hawks host number 11 Shadyside tonight for the sectional title at 7 o'clock. Number 4, Malvern took care of Frontier 74-38. Mark Maley had 18 points and 10 boards, became only the 25th player in OHSAA history to eclipse the 1,000 rebound mark. The Hornets host number 5 Toronto tonight.
Yeah, of course, we talked about that during the podcast on whatever day that was. Was that Wednesday?
That was Wednesday.
It was.
All right, there you go.
And of course, the guys in the other room, they shut down Mark Maley in overtime to get the win last Friday night. So we'll talk to them about that.
Big Z Sports Podcast, by the way, brought to you by Action Extreme Sports. Thought I'd get that in there for you.
There you go. Good job. And number 8, TCC, they knocked off Steubenville Catholic Central 48-36.
Kind of an upset there.
Yeah, Braden Culler dropped 20 points. The Saints travel to number 3 River tonight for the sectional crown. Moving to girls basketball, Division 2. Number 1 New Philadelphia took care of John Glenn 49-39 in the district semi-action despite being without Aaliyah Kearns once again due to that illness. Josie Pry led the way for the Lady Quakers with 12 points. Rachel Anderson added 10. New Philadelphia takes on Carrollton at Sandy Valley.
All right, so the illness, I mean, it's no secret now. I mean, so what's gonna happen?
She's
gonna
play. She's day to day still.
Yep, still day to day. But yeah, hopefully they'll be able to get her back and she can finally break that point mark. She's been having to sit and watch. So number 6 Dover, they fell to number 2 Maysville 56-29. Despite Sam Blair's 15 point performance, the Lady Tornadoes finish up 15-9 on the season. Maysville takes on Cambridge on Saturday, and then Carrollton. The number 4 Warriors, they got 22 points from Michaela Poole as they get by Philo 54-47. They meet New Philadelphia tomorrow at 2 o'clock for the district title at Sandy Valley High School. Division 3, Joe, you want to give us Division 3?
Sure, Division 3, Highland Hawks, they get past Buckeye Trail 55-14 as Tiffany Weaver led the way with 15 points. Number 2 Garaway, they take care of Bel Air 54-28 to set up a third meeting of the season tomorrow between the Lady Pirates and the Lady Hawks for a district title at 2 o'clock at Indian Valley High School.
There
Garaway and Highland will battle for the third time coming up tomorrow to go to the regionals.
What's great are not only are all these kind of local teams playing each other, but they're playing each other in local gyms. So,
yes, it's a great thing.
Makes it easy.
And, of course, we will talk to girls head basketball coach of the Lady Pirates, Dave Shutt, coming up a little bit later. Division 4, Malvern, the number 2 seed. They got 16 points from Kelsey Hewlett as they squeeze by Bridgeport 39-34. The Lady Honets will take on Shenandoah tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Thank you for re-hitting that. High school bowling action. The Claymont boys and girls both won D2 district crowns last weekend. They head down to Wayne Webb's Columbus Bowl tonight and Saturday to compete for a state title. The boys, of course, got the tight win over Carrollton. Tyler Downing led the way with a 762 series. Hunter Hevelin with a 671. The girls defeated Minerva in another tight battle as Peyton Milburn led the Lady Stangs with a 602 series. Ashley Beckley with a 595. The boys competed today. An update on them. They finished 6th in the qualifying rounds. They roll in the finals later tonight. The girls roll tomorrow. Good luck to the Stangs bowling team. Wrestling action. Division 1. Mason Cantini, Miguel Estep, Mitchell Wallach, Doug Weaver, and Trent Miller advance for Dover to the districts at North Canton Hoover this weekend. Division 2. Lucas Stevens and Caleb Robbins advance to the districts at Claymont for New Philadelphia. And in Division 3, Tuskegee Valley claimed the D3 sectional last weekend at Sandy Valley over Bridgeport. New Cooperstown finished 3rd, Sandy Valley 4th. Tuskegee Valley sends Jackson Dunn, Corey Keim, Elijah Cox, Tucker Pruitt, Todd Zabuka, Austin Frodo. Okay, whatever. Luke Heron and Seth Johnson onto the districts. New Cumberstown sends Gavin Weaver. Heard that name before. Logan Hersey, Colton Meek, Justin Sanders, Anthony Sanders, and Logan Zimmerman. Sandy Valley sends Cooper Hemming, Justin King, Jacob Newell, Cameron Blair. Heard that name before. Reese Franks, Josh Newell, and Randy Johnson. And Devin Pettit, Leighton Raber, Garrett Hirschberger, and Cody Hostetler advance from Garraway. That, ladies and gentlemen, is your
look
high school sports report for the first week of March.
All right, so once again, sort of to give everybody the information, all the tournament games, boys and girls, that are tonight and tomorrow, I have the bracket right in front of me. Boys Division 1, Lake and Dover, that's tomorrow. Now, Chris, a lot riding on that game. Winner of that one will play either Canton McKinley or Canfield. Division 2, once again, these two tomorrow, New Philadelphia versus Steubenville, Indian Valley versus Carrollton. Aren't we going to talk to somebody here a little bit later, Joe Geckler?
Yes,
right?
Yes, we are.
Riverview John Glenn and West Holmes versus Philo. Boys Division 3 action. For basketball, of course, all these games coming up. This one tonight, Garraway, Bel Air, Sandy Valley, and Tuskegee Valley, Ridgewood, and Fort Fry, all those games this evening. Monitor Big Z Sports, by the way. We'll try to get some finals for you through social media a little bit later on. Also, for boys action, Division 4, Strasburg and the Bishop Rosecrans. That's tonight. River and TCC tonight. Malvern, Toronto, Shadyside, and Highland. That's tonight as well. Girls action, Chris, you mentioned this one earlier, New Philadelphia and Carrollton. That game will be played tomorrow, Sandy Valley High School. And then girls Division 3 action. These games for you coming down the pipeway. That's Garraway and Highland. That's tomorrow. Indian Valley High School, the location for all that.
Yeah, real quick, some of the IVC awards were announced this week. And, of course, Coach of the Year in the Boys North, Adam Hall from Strasburg. Dan Bartholomew from Sandy Valley was the Player of the Year. Bartholomew, Mark Maley, Andrew Cregan, Mitch Niedenthal, Anthony Badd, Justin Peltz, and Jeremy Salvo were players of, or I should say, I shouldn't say Players of the Year. They were first teamers. And then on the boys' side in the South, of course, we will talk to the Coach of the Year, Jamie Herman from Indian Valley. We will talk to the Player of the Year, Connor McGuire. And, of course, the first teamers, Connor McGuire, Scott Troyer, and Andy Miller of Highland, Cade Williams of Indian Valley, Trevor Donaldson and Ethan Roden from Garraway, Chase Griffith from Ridgewood, and Zach Grafton from Buckeye Trail. We'll also talk to second teamer Ryan Berger. He is in the studio. On the girls' side in the North, Matt Ward from Tuskegee Valley was the Coach of the Year. Player of the Year was Kelsey Hewlett from Malvern. Hewlett, Boston McKinney, and Jaden Kuykendall. Also, Kiara Stewart and Jenna Franks, all four of those, minus Hewlett, of course, from Tuskegee Valley. Jasmine Goldsworthy from Malvern, Carly Altimore from Sandy Valley, and Savannah Yacklin from East Canton. And on the girls' south side, Dave Schlabaugh was the coach of the year. Kennedy Schlabaugh was, excuse me, had to swallow there real quick.
You all right?
Kennedy Schlabaugh was the player of the year from Highland.
Need a drink?
And then, no, I'm good. Not out of that bottle. Kennedy Schlabaugh from Highland. Tiffany Weaver, Morgan McMillan were first teamers. Sid Mullett and Haley Shutt from Garraway. Jenny Carmichael from Buckeye Trail and Milana Harmon from Claymont. And then, Joe, I believe you've got the wrestling stuff there.
Yeah, Coach of the Year in wrestling, no surprise. Eric Tokinen from Claymont, Wrestler of the Year, Max Peters from Claymont. And, you know, if you want to see all of these results, we'll have these up on our website and Facebook sometime this weekend. We'll get them up if you want to get on and see all the first team, second team, and third teamers in basketball and wrestling throughout the IVC. So we'll have that coming up this weekend. We'll get it on the website for you.
Absolutely. And let's go and take a listen to our interview with head coach of the Dover boys basketball team, Mr. Bob Von Kennel.
Thanks for that update, Chris. It's now time to welcome in Dover's boys basketball coach, Bob Von Kennel. Coach, thanks for taking time out to join us here on the Big Z Sports Show.
Thanks for asking us. We're happy to be part of your show and feel very honored to be interviewed.
Coach, how important was it for your program to get that big win? I know it was the first time you guys have hosted a D1 game, but then you turn around and you get that big win, the first win in Dover history in Division I. How important is that for your program?
Well, I think it's a boost to our confidence. We have a feeling that we're capable and that we can belong trying to play at that level. And luckily, things bounced our way that first night, and hopefully it can continue in the future.
Coach, a couple weeks ago, we did one of your games against Indian Valley, and that was our first chance to really see you in person. Pretty impressive team you have. What did you take away from beating a team like Indian Valley who was having a great season? They come into your place, and you really take care of business that night. What did you take away from your team going forward?
Well, we knew that Indian Valley would be a big test for us, and I thought that our kids were really ready to play. We thought that defensively we would be all right. It was whether we would score enough against their zones. And our kids did a great job as a team, and that's obviously added to our confidence.
Coach, I got to ask you about the importance of balance and bench scoring when it comes to tournament play. You guys really rely on everybody. Millender led you guys the other night with 13 points. Cade had 12. Brandon Troyer with 8. Sexton with 7. And then you had three other players with 6 points. How important is that in tournament play?
Well, it's important at any time of the year, but in tournament play, it gives you a chance to not allow someone to key on one individual player. All those guys are capable of scoring a few buckets here and there, and hopefully they've learned throughout the course of the season what decisions to make and what are good options for themselves, and that helps in our shot selection. Shot selection is part of good defense.
Hey, Coach, Joe mentioned that Indian Valley game, and when we saw you there, you were definitely the more physical team in that game. How much do you preach about that to your team, about being the more physical team out there on the court?
I don't know if we were the more physical team in that game. We got to more loose balls, and we play hard, but Indian Valley is a pretty physical team. It's not a preteen thing that we talk about being physical. It's just a matter of taking pride and getting lower than they are. Our theory is that if you're lower than they are, longer than they are, you have a great chance at both ends of the floor.
Coach, let's talk about tomorrow night's game now against Uniontown Lake, and that's going to be a tough challenge for your team. You got to go up 77 to Uniontown. Take the Blue Streaks on. They're 19-3. Dover, you guys are 17-6. What do you expect from Lake tomorrow night?
Well, they're obviously the best team we all have played. Dublin Kaufman was very strong, but Lake is very similar to them. They have a good size. They have two big 6'5 kids inside in the Spottleson twins. And then Moranville's maybe the best player we've seen as a perimeter player. So they've got a lot of weapons, and they do a lot of things. And they're very, very fundamental and extremely well coached. So you don't fool Lake, and they don't beat themselves. You're going to have to beat them.
Hey, Coach, I know New Philadelphia played them not too long ago. You see any film of that game, or how have you prepared your team for this matchup tomorrow?
We've gotten film on them, and we've had some people scout some of their games since the tournament drawing in preparation if the chance would be that we would play them. Plus, we scrimmage Lake every year. We've probably scrimmaged for the last 15, 20 years. Since I've been at Dover, I think we scrimmage Lake almost every year.
You're listening.
So Coach McBride and I are good friends, and we're familiar with each other. We've shared a lot of material over the years.
You're listening to the Big Z Sports Show on Z Country 99.9. Joe Geckler, Chris Kale, and Eric McElroy. We're visiting with Dover basketball coach Bob Von Kennel. And Coach, what's the message been to your team this week? What have you told your seniors to really focus on this week as you get ready for Lake?
We just told them that it's going to take a total maximum team effort, and that no one can have a bad game, that everybody's got to be doing what they're capable of, and that the game is going to be won by who's mentally stronger throughout the course of the game, and that we're going to face runs and give up points, but we've got to maintain our poise throughout the game. If anything goes wrong, we got to keep our poise and play through it and try and grind out a win.
Well, Coach, we appreciate you taking the time out of your evening here tonight to join us on the Big Z Sports Show. We wish you nothing but the best of luck at Lake tomorrow, and go get them. Go get another win tomorrow night.
All right. Thank you very much, and thanks for the coverage. It's always great to hear things on WTUZ.
We appreciate that. Thanks a lot, Coach.
You have a good evening.
You too. You're listening to the Big Z Sports Show on Z Country 99.9. We're going to take a quick timeout, come back, and we're going to talk with Indian Valley Boys basketball coach Jamie Herman. That's on the Big Z Sports Show right after this on Z Country 99.9.
Direct from our Benchmark Construction Studios, it's Big Z Sports.
This is Chuck Rust, Commissioner of the IVC. For the best area high school sports coverage, listen to WTUZ Big Z Sports.
Welcome back into the Big Z Sports Show on Z Country 99.9. Joe Geckler, Chris Kale, Eric McElroy. We're live in the Benchmark Construction Studios. And don't forget, we're live on Facebook as well, WTUZ Big Z Sports. And guys, we got a crowded house in the studio right now. Chris, we actually kicked him out to the newsroom so we all could get into the studio. But we are privileged and honored to be joined by the Indian Valley Braves, Coach Jamie Herman, Cade Williams, Connor McGuire, and Ryan Berger. First of all, I'll start off with you, Coach. Congratulations on a great season, and I should say IVC Coach of the Year, Jamie Herman, Coach.
Well, thanks to WTUZ for having us on tonight. It has been a great year, but our new season starts now.
And that's what I expected you to say. And, you know, Coach, you start off, we talked to you way back in December. I think it might have even been end of November, but we talked to you beginning of the year. You were our first interview on the Winter Show, and you talked about how good you felt about your team, and you thought if they would do some things that you asked them to do, you guys would be pretty successful. Well, you guys have been extremely successful this year. Winning, was it 19 in a row?
Well, we won 17 in a row, okay. And then we hit a little speed bump.
Which happens, you know, and you know, you talked about those 17 games, but a couple weeks ago, the streak came to an end out in Highland. You lost there, you lost again at Dover, and then Strasburg in the IVC Showcase. What did you learn? Did you learn more about your team during that winning streak or during those three losses?
I believe we learn something every night, whether it's a practice, whether it's in a game. Win or lose, we're learning about ourselves and what we can do, what we can't do, what we should do, and the toughness that our guys have.
Did you feel like your team maybe peaked a little too early there in the regular season, or do you feel like you guys can pick right back up and start playing their best ball here in tournament time?
Absolutely did not think that we peaked too early. We just hit a tough stretch of three really good games.
Yeah.
I mean, the Highland game, if you were there, it could have went either way. And I would say that game and our first game against Highland were identical matches of each other. They just made the shots down the stretch that we made the first time. You know, you go play a great Dover team and in their house and in a tough environment. And, you know, we cracked a little bit, but we didn't stop. We didn't quit. You know, we just kept going at them. They just played a little bit better than we did. And then Strasburg, again, you're talking about we lost to three really good teams, and we would love the opportunity to play them all again, but it doesn't work like that. You know, we just get back to work and keep getting better.
And I think those three teams that you played that you lost to, three in a row, Highland, Dover, and Strasburg, are all playing probably their best basketball of the year right now.
Absolutely. I mean, just three really good teams.
Coach, I got to ask you, you know, I've seen teams in the past, one that I was, you know, close to with Dover back when I was in high school, went undefeated in the regular season and then boom, lost first tournament game. Do you think it was important for your team? And I know losses shouldn't be important, but do you think it was something that, hey, we'd rather lose now and get that feeling out of the road and get it in these kids' heads so that they don't want to feel that come tournament time?
I don't know. You know, as being in the locker room and a part of the team. I don't think that's necessarily important. I don't think the guys had any extra pressure on them. And that's something good for you guys to talk about. But sure. You know what? It's basketball. And if you look at the best teams anywhere, everybody has a loss or two. And we try to learn something from a win or a loss.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're going to bring in some players now. We'll start with we have Cade Williams here on my right. We have Connor McGuire in the middle. Ryan Berger over next to Eric. But we'll start with the IVC South Player of the Year and Connor McGuire. Connor,
hey,
thanks for taking time to join us tonight. You know, your senior season, this is your last ride. You go on to college after this. What have you learned in 4 years from Coach Herman?
Well, really, just not just Coach Herman, but Coach Gilmore, too, but from Coach Herman, you always got to go hard. And if you don't go hard, you're not going to get the playing time. So as a sophomore, I struggled. You know, I struggled. We had our ups and downs, but, you know, him and I always had each other's back. So it's I learned that just playing hard, it benefits.
Well, we'll get Cade in on the action. I'll just call him quarterback, right? Is that correct? And although it's not football season, obviously. Cade, coach seems like a no-nonsense kind of guy, but what was he preaching to you guys, say, during that 17-game winning streak, you know, during practices, in between games, to sort of keep you guys grounded? What was his message to you guys?
We just got to focus on the game. The next game ahead of us, keep playing with good energy, sharing the ball. It's not based around one person. We got to... Everybody's got to play their best game to win.
Well, I'm going to ask you guys a question. You know, you see one of the guys that you used to play with in Dalton Bolin, right, doing big things right now at the next level. How cool is that to see somebody that comes from your program and doing big things in college? Does that really motivate you guys? I don't know what you're planning on doing, if you're planning on playing basketball at the next level, but if you do, is that important to you guys to see somebody from your program doing so well?
Yeah, I mean... He was a kid that he's always working hard. He's the first one in the gym. You leave, you walk out the doors, you look in the gym, and he's still in there shooting.
Hey, Ryan Berger right here to my left. You guys can watch us on Facebook Live, by the way. Ryan, you see that all brought to you by Speedy Sewers and Septic Cleaning there in Strasburg. That's how we pay Joe Geckler's salary over here. Ryan, tournament time, it's like Coach said, a different season. You guys put everything that happened in the past and look forward ahead to the tournament. What are you looking forward to the most here come tournament time?
I'm looking forward to the really good games and the really close games. I mean, hopefully we win those games. But our energy just has to be really high, and we just got to go out there and get the win.
Now, Ryan, if I remember correctly, and correct me if I'm wrong, were you injured the first part of the season, and then you came on late? Were you hurt at all? No?
No, sir.
No, okay. Well, that's my fault. Thanks for – I mean, I was just – it was just –
Come on, Joe. Yeah,
hey, sorry. But, you know, guys, it's amazing to see – after 17 wins and then the three losses, and right now you're going into tournament action. How focused are you at practice? How focused have you been at practice? And what does this game against Carrollton mean to you tomorrow night?
Well, if I can be honest with you, our practices, we struggle sometimes. We get competitive sometimes. I mean, yes, it's a good thing, but we always have each other's backs. And when we get competitive, we'll say some things to each other and do some things that'll irritate, but... No,
that's what teammates do. I mean, it's like yeah. a brotherhood almost. You guys see each other probably way too much, way more than you probably see your parents. You know what I mean? It just comes with the territory. How many times do me and Joe and me and Chris fight throughout the week?
Every day?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. I mean, it just happens. It's the way it is.
Maybe I don't talk enough with these guys about how it was, you know, in the first couple of years. You know, when Coach Gilmore and I got to take over at Indian Valley, I mean, we were on a 18-game losing streak when I got here, and that extended to 28. You know, it wasn't until we had an actual fight in practice before we started winning. And these guys are very competitive, and they do go after each other a good bit at
you know,
practice,
Coach,
and that is a good thing.
And I won't reveal my sources, but there was a couple people who told me that during that that losing streak, the practices got pretty intense. Am I correct on that?
Our practices are very physical and very intense. I would think they've been that way this week as well.
That's probably what they need, Coach, going into tournament time. And you know what? I'll just say one thing. Even though it's a different sport, what you guys, what the Braves did in football, I mean, winning just breeds winning, and it kind of just bled right in to the start of the basketball season. And it just goes to show, I mean, just a bunch of good athletes, a good group of kids that you guys have out there at Indian Valley, Coach.
We do have a great group of kids, and they're blessed, but, you know, we need to continue to push them to get the absolute best out of them.
Did you guys see Berger's face whenever Joe asked him if he was injured? He's like, what? Really? No. My question to you guys is, I guess we'll go with Connor and Kate and Ryan. Do you guys, is physicality on the basketball floor the thing that you guys kind of want to do the most? Impede your will on the other team and say, hey, we're going to be here all night long and it doesn't matter. We're not going anywhere. Is that something that you guys focus on, or is there something else that you focus on when you're on the basketball floor?
Oh, yeah, for sure. The physicality definitely is one of our, you know, go-tos. But as our assistant coach says, energy and enthusiasm. It says that before every game. So we just got to – we go out with that mindset every game. So when we do that, it's hard to beat us.
Coach, I want to ask you about Carroll to now. You guys are taking them on tomorrow at home. It'll be nice to be in the friendly confines of your own gym to start – your tournament run here. What kind of problems do Carrollton, what do they present you guys tomorrow night?
It is definitely a blessing to be home. We haven't been in our gym for a game in almost a month now.
Wow.
We've had a six-game road road games, or six in a row, so yeah. It's nice to be home. But Carrollton it's the first game of the tournament. It's a different season. We did just play them a week and a half ago. It was a 9-point game. They had a young man who scored 34 points, so they're encouraged coming into our place.
In that game,
8 for 12 from three. Yeah, we have a tendency to give up the three a little bit too much, but our guys are ready to make sure that they understand that was a really good game for them, and that's all it was.
Defend the perimeter, boys. Who's the enforcer defensively? Like, who's probably the guy, your best defensive player you'll put on that kid?
Well, Tanner Myers is going to get the nod to start tomorrow. But honestly, it depends on who's got it going that night, because we have a lot of guys who can lock down and defend when they want to.
You know, I saw in the Strasburg game when I was there, I saw Braden Rodstad at the point a little bit, controlling the point guard. I'm like, wow, a big boy up front playing defense like that.
Again, talk about a blessing. We will switch a lot, all five guys, and our guys can guard all five. And even Carson, who's our biggest and maybe our most unathletic, and I don't even know if that's anywhere close to true, because he's a really, really good athlete and got great feet, but even he guards their point guards.
Sure. Now, Kate, one last question for you. And, you know, Eric mentioned a little bit winning on the football field. You guys had a great fall. What did you take from that onto the basketball court?
I mean, just the physicality of football and going out there and just beating the crap out of their team and wearing them out. I mean, it just puts them in a hole right off the bat, and they just give up by halftime half the time. Makes your life easy.
There you go. Hey, now, Coach, how do you get your team not to look ahead? Yeah, tournament time, there's brackets. Everybody knows what the matchup could be in the next round, but you one game at a time, I'm sure, right? You're preaching to them.
We've been talking about it all year. It's this game. This is the only one that matters, because if you don't take care of business tonight, there is no next game.
Yeah, I agree with you guys 100%. You know, I tried to lure you into that in off air, but no, seriously, guys, I can't tell you how awesome it is to have covered you guys on the football side, now on the basketball side. Just looking forward to seeing you guys have a deep tournament run. Good luck to each and every one of you, and we'll be following along closely.
And, guys, real quick, Ryan, what other sports do you play? Are you going to be playing baseball, running track in the spring?
I play baseball.
Okay. And, Connor, what are you going to do in the spring?
In the spring, I'm actually going to help my old AAU team out.
Okay. And, Cade, what are you going to be doing?
Baseball.
Okay. So at least everybody's staying busy. That's good. And Coach, are you going to take a break and take a nap in the spring?
And no. No, season starts over.
Well, guys, we appreciate you taking time, and we wish you nothing but the best of luck tomorrow night against Carrollton, and we hope to see you on Wednesday night.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. Again, that's Indian Valley basketball team, Jamie Herman, Cade Williams, Ryan Berger, and Connor McGuire joining us here on the Big Z Sports Show. We're going to take a quick timeout, come back, and talk to Dave Shutt from Garraway, and his girls take on Highland tomorrow for a district championship. That's after this on Z Country 99.9.
Big Z Sports on 99.9. You're with Big Z Sports on 99.9 WTUZ.
Back on the Big Z Sports Show on Z Country 99.9, Joe Geckler, Chris Kale, and Eric McElroy. Big thank you to Indian Valley head basketball coach Jamie Herman for joining us here on the Big Z Sports Show and bringing in a few of his guys, Connor McGuire, Ryan Berger, and Cade Williams.
Yeah, it's great to see those kids and head coach Herman right there. Of course, they play tomorrow night as they take on Carrollton right there in their home gym. Coach mentioned they haven't been home. I didn't even think about that for like a month, right, guys?
It's been quite a while. And you know what? Like I said, what I can take from that interview as we get ready, Eric's going to dial up head coach Dave Shutt for us. What I took away from that interview is they don't feel like they peaked it too early, and that they feel like they just have to get back to what they were doing during those 17 games. And I think that during practice and stuff, those kids look focused in here tonight, and I think they're going to be focused and ready to go tomorrow. And Carrollton needs to be worried.
I think focused is a good word, but I think also Indian Valley needs to go back out and start having fun.
Yes, you know, I agree.
I said that to Connor after the Strasburg game at the IBC Showcase. I said, guys, just get out there and have fun. Play Indian Valley basketball and just do your thing. Don't overthink things. Just go do what you've done all year. And, you know, I think they'll be fine tomorrow night. I really do. Yeah. Coach has them ready, and you could see it in their eyes that they're ready to play tomorrow.
Oh, and I agree. And you can't give enough credit to head coach Jamie Herman and what he's done with that program. Just a great guy and a great leader. And motivator and mentor to those kids, and what he's done with that program. You look at, like you talked about, look what Coach Lank has done on the football side, and look at what he's done on the boys' basketball side. Just an incredible turnaround, and now Indian Valley is one of those powerhouses no matter when you play them throughout the high school season, and it's great to see.
It is, and we're going to switch gears and turn to girls' basketball now and welcome in Garaway head basketball coach Dave Shutt. Coach, congratulations on a great season, and thanks for taking a few minutes out of your evening to join us here on the Big Z Sports Show.
Absolutely, no problem.
Coach, let's look at the tournament so far. If you remember back when you started the tournament, you took care of Newcomers Town 69-29, and then you took care of Morgan as well, 65-42. Your next game was Bel Air on the 28th. You beat them 54-28. Your team is really playing good basketball right now leading into the district championship game tomorrow night against Highland.
Yeah, we are. You know, defensively, we're really doing the job. We just faced Bel Air team that was putting up about 68, 70 points a game. And, from a defensive standpoint, I thought we really excelled and, you know, did some really good things and took some of the really good players out of the game. And, you know, we've been doing it with balance, too. We've had, you know, three or four girls in double figures, and that's so nice to see, especially at the tournament time where, you know, nobody can focus on, you know, one player, so to speak. But, they're really excited. Tomorrow's going to be a big challenge for us, but they're really excited and ready to go for that game tomorrow.
Of course, Coach, you guys come in the number two seed. You're 21-4 on the season. And, of course, you've got that third matchup this year with Highland. Two of your four losses to the Lady Hawks, back in December and then again in January. Is it tough to play a team three times? And, you always hear that as a coach. And is that something that you're instilling in your girls is, hey, look, they've played us twice, but we've played them twice too. And what do you have to do to kind of turn those tables on Highland tomorrow night?
Well, probably the first thing is we're going to have to defend probably harder than we have all tournament because they have, they have a lot of kids that can get you from different spots on the floor. You know, some of the girls are, you know, penetrate, get to the rim. Some are catch and shoot. And, his daughter, Kennedy, she's a very deadly knockdown shooter. And then their bigs are doing a tremendous job for them inside. But, we really do. I'm not buying so much into that three times. At this point in juncture, you just have to play extremely well and do the little things right. And I really feel it could come down to some, little things with, the rebounding, free throws, 50-50 balls, things of that nature. They really get magnified the further you go up the line in the tournament time.
Hey, Coach, three tournament games in, you guys are averaging 62 points a game. What's kind of been the key offensively for you?
Well, unselfish play by a lot of our kids. Our ball movement, our execution in the half court set. We've scored some stuff in transition, too. I didn't even mark down what we are averaging, in those games in transition, but we have been getting some good looks off of transition. But, you know, like I said, it's unselfish. You know, I don't think really a whole lot of kids care who gets the credit. You know, we just want to, you know, share the ball and, you know, execute, set solid screens and, you know, play it out from there.
And then, Coach, defensively, you guys are executing as well. I mean, that first-round game against New Cumberstown held them to 29. Your last game against Bel Air held them to 28. So your girls are locked in at what seems like right now on both sides of the floor, which is what you need going forward.
Oh, sure, absolutely. You know, you've been around it long enough. You know, defense does set the tone and dictate, you know, what you can do the further into the tournament. And if that's, you know, our mainstay, that's what we want. But again, tomorrow we are facing a very talented Highland team, and that's going to be the utmost importance for us tomorrow.
Well, Coach, you talked about some of the intangibles, you know, the 50-50 balls, the boxing out, rebounding, those sort of things. How important is it for you guys offensively to play at your tempo and control the game from a tempo standpoint?
That's probably the number one factor. I mean, we definitely don't want to, you know, speed shots up, you know, get rushed, try to, you know, run and make it a 70-point game. I mean, I think everybody knows that. But, you know, we'll take what's there, and if it's not there, hopefully, we have a presence of mind to understand that it's not there and, you know, execute our offense and, you know, control tempo, you know, like you said, that is going to be important.
Coach, you know, we've mentioned Highland this whole interview, and I'm going to ask you one final question. Your three keys for Garraway to move on and win that district championship tomorrow afternoon?
You know, defensive effort. Obviously, rebounding is going to be big. They pursue the ball. We can't give them second chances or second, third cracks at it. And then, you know, just playing the moment. You know, it's going to be a great environment. It's going to be fun. And, you know, if we can just play in the moment and don't get too high or too low, you know, and play through a lot of, you know, runs, whether they're good and bad, I think those will be three, you know, keys coming in.
Well, Coach, we appreciate you taking the time out of your busy evening tonight. I know you're getting ready to go watch the Garraway boys take on, they'll play their tournament game as well. But, you know, we thank you for taking time to join us here on the Big Z Sports Show. We wish you nothing but the best of luck tomorrow. Again, the game tomorrow, 2 o'clock at Indian Valley High School for the district championship, Division 3 in the East District, Highland and Garraway. Coach, good luck tomorrow, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Absolutely. Always a pleasure, Joe. Thanks again for covering us.
Dave, we appreciate you. And again, good luck. That's Dave Schutt, Garraway girls basketball coach, joining us here on the Big Z Sports Show as his team gets ready to take on Highland and for the third time this season. They always say it's tough to beat a team three times. Let's see if that holds true tomorrow with Highland and Garraway.
Coach, well, isn't buying into it.
They played back on December the 20th, and Highland, they won that game 60-35. And the last time those two teams played, it was on January the 31st. Garraway lost that one by 20, 50-32.
And that game was actually really close going into the fourth quarter, and Highland just pulled away at the end. So, but that would be an exciting game to go to if we were going to do a girls' game. I think that's, that would be a girls' game that we would want to do. It's down the road, but definitely something that we could definitely look forward to doing down the road. But again, good luck to the Garraway Pirates tomorrow. Good luck to the Garraway Pirates tonight as their boys play in the sectional, or their sectional.
Sectional.
Mm-hmm.
Sectional. Boys and girls are different.
They're always a week behind,
right?
I guess.
But yeah, that girls game, it's going to be a highly competitive game. The one and the two seed there in that region.
Yeah, it's going to be good, going to be interesting. I'm anxious to see what happens in that game. We're going to take a quick timeout, quick update in the Ohio State-Penn State game in the Big Ten tournament. There's about 9 minutes to go in the first half, and the game is tied at 15. Ohio State and Penn State tied at 15 with about 9 minutes to go.
In the world's most famous arena.
The Boston Gardens?
That's what I would say. Actually,
in the queue,
a three-pointer just went in by Ohio State, so they're up 18-15. You can go check that out on the Big Ten Network. Just make sure you mute it and continue to listen to us in the 7 o'clock hour.
Absolutely. Coming up after this timeout, we're going to talk more college basketball, get into some NBA, and later on in the 7 o'clock hour, we're going to talk to Zach Meisel from theathletic.com. He's going to join us to talk about the Indians so far this spring and what to take away from their good start. That's all coming up after this on Z Country 99.9.
Direct from our Benchmark Construction Studios, it's Big Z Sports. Z Country 99.9 WTUZ, Uricksville, New Philadelphia.
Now, back to Big Z Sports on 99.9.
Welcome back into the Big Z Sports Show on Z Country 99.9. Joe Geckler, Chris Kale, Eric McElroy. We're live in the Benchmark Construction Studios. And if you want to participate in the program, jump on Facebook tonight, WTUZ Big Z Sports. You can follow us on Twitter at @big_Z Sports. And, of course, our Weaver Appliance text line, 330-339-9399. We're going to talk a little college basketball, but before we get to that, a big thank you to all the coaches that joined us in the first half of the show. Dover basketball coach Bob Von Kennel, Indy Valley basketball coach Jamie Herman and his three players, Cade Williams, Connor McGuire, and Ryan Berger, and of course, Garraway girls basketball coach Dave Shutt as his team prepares for a district championship game tomorrow against the Highland Hawks. But college basketball now, update from Madison Square Garden. It looks like the Buckeyes lead 20-15 with just under 8 minutes to go in the first half. They're on a 16-3 run in the last 4 minutes. So Buckeyes playing very, very good basketball right now.
Yeah, against the team that beat them twice this year. One of them kind of a fluke in Columbus, that three-pointer from half court.
Think about they're a 40-footer away from being the number one seed.
And yeah. Then in Happy Valley, they pretty much kicked our tails that game that had Penn State.
Urban knows how that feels.
You know who else is playing well? The Lady Buckeyes. They won today.
Nice
the Lady
segue,
Bucks,
Chris.
They hammered Rutgers in the quarterfinals of the Big Ten tournament this afternoon, 82-57. Kelsey Mitchell, 22 points. Stephanie Malvunga with 18-6. And Sierra Calhoun with 14 points. They will play the winner of Minnesota and Iowa tomorrow night at 6. I don't know which one won that game. It was on a little bit earlier. Might not be totally finished yet. There it is. Minnesota beat them. I believe it was 90-89, so Minnesota win.
High-scoring girls game
yes,
that
it was
then.
So they will take on Minnesota tomorrow. Again, that game at 6 o'clock on the Big Ten Network.
It is tourney time, not only in high school basketball, but college basketball as well. Well, at least in the Big Ten and the West Coast Conference, those two teams having their conference tournament kind of a week early. The week that was in college basketball, though, we'll go back to Wednesday. Number 3, Xavier Joe. They just seem to be getting better and better. They beat Providence by 10, 84-74. That was the final.
Yeah, they're playing very good basketball as Xavier right now. And, you know, when you're number 3 in the country and, you know, Coach Mack has you playing your best basketball of the season, you're going to do good things. And, you know, one thing I was watching a little bit of their game Tuesday night, I think. Trayvon Blewett.
Wednesday.
Trayvon Blewett, their senior guard, is now the second all-time leading scorer in Xavier history.
Wow.
Behind anyone, no. Anybody know who their all-time leading scorer is?
Mashburn.
No. He went to Kentucky.
I don't know.
Oh, that's right.
I don't know.
Barry Larkin's brother, Byron.
You looked at me like you were disgusted when I
we
said
we don't know
that.
The Larkins like you know and say.
I'm just saying.
Coming from somebody who's wearing a Cincinnati Reds hat
just saying.
This evening.
Byron Larkin, all-time leading scorer in Xavier.
Did not know that. Big Ten tourney action on Wednesday. Iowa over Illinois, 96-87. And then Rutgers, they beat Minnesota 65-54. Then yesterday, more Big Ten tourney action. Wisconsin over Maryland, 59-54. This game was an interesting one that went to overtime. Probably had no business going to overtime, but Michigan squeaked it out, guys, over Iowa, 77-71.
Yeah, Iowa, you know, Iowa has a way to do that to teams in the tournament, in the Big Ten tournament and the NCAA tournament. But Michigan, they get a rematch with Michigan State, and I don't know who I'm rooting for in that game. I never root for that team up north, but I don't know how clear of a path I want the Buckeyes to get to the finals.
And of course, we already know last night Penn State beat Northwestern 65-57. If Northwestern would have won that game, we'd be watching Ohio State beating Northwestern right now. But instead, they're beating Penn State by 6 with about 6 minutes left in the first half. We'll continue to update you on the big bad Buckeyes throughout the night. Also,
pretty balanced scoring right now for the Buckeyes.
Yeah, what do we have?
They have 8 guys on the board right now. 4-4-2, 3-3, 3-3-2.
Well, that's what you want. Maybe you can build up a lead against this team because, you know, to come tournament time, you got to play every single night. Well, especially in the Big Ten tournament. So, you know, Coach Holtman trying to keep maybe some guys fresh. looking ahead to tomorrow. Who knows? Also last night, Big Ten tourney, Rutgers, they beat Indiana 76-69. And non-tournament action last night, Cincinnati went all the way down to New Orleans, Joe, put a whooping on Tulane, 78-49. The Bearcats ranked number 10 right now.
Yeah, the Bearcats probably right where they need to be going into their tournament action here later next week. And we'll see what happens with the Bearcats. But I think it could be a fun time of the year for Ohio and all these area teams, so to speak.
Well, we told you the Buckeyes, obviously, in action right now. In earlier action today in the Big Ten tournament, Michigan beat Nebraska 77-58, so the Wolverines move on. And number two, Michigan State, they defeated Wisconsin. That was a close game, though, 63-60. So now, I think you already mentioned this, right, Joe? Tomorrow it'll be Michigan State and Michigan.
Yes.
The quarterfinal round of the, no, that's semifinals.
Semifinals.
Yeah, semis already tomorrow. Michigan and Michigan State should be a good matchup. Now, Ohio State will play the winner of Rutgers and Purdue. That game is on later on tonight after the Ohio State game is over. Rutgers comes in at 15-18. Purdue 26-5. Purdue's favored by 15 that game.
Is Rutgers good at anything? I mean, seriously.
I think they have a really good lacrosse program.
Really?
I think so.
Maybe soccer.
But all those schools in the Northeast are like Syracuse.
Like rather good lacrosse, yeah.
You know what Pro Football Hall of Famer and member of the Cleveland Browns played lacrosse at Syracuse?
Jim Brown.
That'd be Jim Brown. Good job, Joe. He just celebrated a birthday.
Same day as Michael Jordan. He shares a birthday with Michael Jordan.
We're full of useless information here, folks. Hey, tonight in the MAC. The MAC tournament, by the way, starts March 8th, runs the 8th through the 10th at the Q. Tonight, what is the greatest rivalry and all of college basketball? You guys know what game that is, right?
UC and Xavier.
No.
No.
That's incorrect.
Ohio State, Michigan. That's football, sorry.
That's football. That's incorrect. The greatest rivalry in all of college basketball, Kent State at Akron.
There it is.
Akron over Kent State right now, 6-2. Also, Ohio at Miami of Ohio and Toledo hosting Eastern Michigan. Then tomorrow, of course, we already gave you the outlook for the Big Ten tourney as that continues. Number three, Xavier at DePaul. It's probably the last regular season game, right, I would think?
I would assume so, yes.
Number 20, West Virginia at Texas. And what really probably is the greatest rivalry in all of college basketball, tomorrow night, number 5, Duke hosting number 9, North Carolina.
Yeah, those that's probably the best rivalry in college. I was going to say UCLA USC, but not even that.
Bro.
UCLA Arizona.
I mentioned the West Coast Conference tournament is going on over the weekend right now as well. Tomorrow, now really, when you consider the West Coast Conference, there's two teams really you only need to worry about: Gonzaga, who's a 7 seed; St. Mary's. They're ranked number. Well, I'm sorry, Gonzaga's 7 in the country. St. Mary's number 22. In the country. Those are the top two teams there in the West Coast Conference tournament. Then on Sunday, we'll find out who's the Big Ten champion on March the 4th. Also, number 10, Cincinnati at number 11, Wichita State. Joe, the Bearcats looking for some revenge in that game.
Trivia, real quick, Wichita's mascot?
The Bees.
No.
The Shockers.
Yes. Yeah. The Wichita State Shockers.
But their mascot is a bee.
You're right, it is. Yeah, the UC and Wichita State, and UC fell to them earlier in the season to Wichita State.
That's what I mean. You guys are going for revenge. They just played like I think 10 days ago or something like that.
Isn't Shaka smart?
He's at Texas.
Oh, that's right.
Penn State's making a little bit of a run. 4.5 remaining in the first half. It's Ohio State 28, Penn State 26. That's the Big Ten tournament. Winner of that one gets Rutgers or Purdue.
Probably Purdue.
Yeah, probably. That's after this game here tonight. Hey, remember later we have Zach Meisel, guys, to talk about Major League Baseball and the Cleveland Indians, how spring has been going so far. Do we want to update our polls, by the way?
We do.
I feel like we talked about them in the opening segment, then we kind of... We've been busy, though.
We have been very busy.
There are quite a few polls up on social media, WTUZ Big Z Sports on Facebook, at @Big_Z Sports on Twitter. Our poll is all brought to you by the Parkway Ford and Lincoln Superstore there in Dover. All right, first one pertains to this game that we have on our television screen right now in the studio. Ohio State versus Penn State, Big Ten tourney from New York City. Buckeyes have lost twice to Penn State this season. Since it's still a close game, a two-point contest, who's going to win this game? 86% of you say Ohio State tonight.
Mm.
I'm one of those.
Yeah, the third time's a charm. Buckeyes will get him tonight.
I hope so. The Buckeyes are actually playing pretty well right now. They had about an 8-point lead just a little bit ago. It's evaporated down to 2 with Penn State shooting free throws. It's down to 1 now.
Well, if they lose this game, I think they're in big trouble come, in a couple weeks from now.
Yeah, they
can't lose this game.
The Buckeyes haven't been playing their best ball as of late. This one will answer next segment. Are the Cavs in trouble? 52% of you right now say no. They'll figure it out at some point. Once again, our poll question is brought to you by Parkway Ford and Lincoln Superstore on Facebook and Twitter. Since we're getting into baseball here after the break, spring training baseball about a week old. You ready for folks to start playing ball? Play ball! That's coming.
Alrighty then.
We looked today. It was March 31st.
March 28th, wasn't it?
Was it really?
Yeah. It's like
the, it's a third. No, that's all right. We were both wrong.
March 29th. 9:30.
Yeah, that's
well, I can tell you the Indians won today.
Did they win?
And they won yesterday. Yes, they defeated the Dodgers yesterday 8-7. That put them to 5-2. Yandy Diaz was 1-for-2 with 2 RBIs. And they won this afternoon against the Rangers 9-4. They're now 6-2 early in Cactus League play. Jason Kipnis 1-for-3, 3 ribbies. Chisenhall 2-for-3 with 2 ribbies. And Trevor Bauer pitched 3 innings with 4 strikeouts.
Yeah, Kip's been playing well in the spring.
Yes,
that's a nice sight to see. 83% of you say, yeah, can't wait for the regular season to start for baseball. And the question of the night, guys. J.R. Smith got upset at assistant coach Damon Jones for what I do not know. I guess it warranted him throwing a hot bowl of soup at him. Can't make this stuff up.
It's no soup for you.
It's a true story. And he was suspended last night's game. And I guess he'll be back tomorrow. But the last question of the night, and I'm sure folks at Parkway Ford and Lincoln Superstore like this one. What kind of soap? What kind of soup did J.R. Smith hurl at Cavs assistant Damon Jones? Was it A?
Hurl. Chicken, that makes you sound like he threw up all over him.
Chicken noodle?
Chicken noodle soup. Chicken noodle soup.
Vegetable, which I'm not a fan of. C, tomato. I'm a fan of if you have grilled cheese with it.
Yes.
Or a D, minestrone. So those are your options right there. We'll go through
some
comments.
Isn't that beans in it?
Later on.
Yes.
Minestrone?
Red beans.
Not a fan.
Susan makes a great minestrone soup.
Yeah, I like vegetable beef. I make a killer vegetable beef soup.
Becca likes vegetable beef.
Do you remember that song, Chicken Noodle Soup? Chicken Noodle Soup. Remember
the soda on the
back
side.
In the day?
Yeah. Jeez. That takes me back takes me back to a place I don't want to go to.
All right. You mentioned, I don't know why I'm asking you this question, but you mentioned grilled cheese with your tomato soup, and you don't do you guys eat anything with chili?
Yes, crackers.
Okay.
And cornbread.
With my chili, some requirements, some cheese.
Okay? Yes, like cheese.
Definitely has to go in there. Other than that, I don't really know what
else.
Next
time you have chili, I want you guys to try this. Okay. A peanut butter sandwich.
No.
Oh, my goodness, man. I'm telling you.
It is I know so a guy that puts peanut butter on everything. He puts peanut butter on his hamburgers.
That's really good, though. Oh, my goodness. Oh, yeah. But just a plain peanut butter sandwich on white bread, peanut butter sandwich.
Do you dip it in the chili?
You do. I mean, I'm telling you, it is remarkable. I've done it all my life.
Take you some cornbread and put some honey on that bad boy.
Cornbread.
Ooh.
I eat cornbread with bean soup.
I could see some cornbread and some chili. I'm not a big fan of cornbread.
Bean soup? I wouldn't want to be around you on bean soup day.
Cornbread always seems to be dry to me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean.
That's why you put honey on it.
Yeah,
I'm telling you.
It just makes it sticky
and
dry.
You got to make it right.
I'm telling you, Uncle Joe wouldn't steer you the wrong way.
Uncle Joe.
Peanut butter sandwich and chili.
The next time I have a bowl of chili, I will try it.
All right. And if you don't like it, you can tell me you don't like
it.
Only
because I like all of those things. I like chili. I like peanut butter.
Sure.
And by golly, I like bread.
Man, would you eat a peanut butter and banana sandwich like Elvis?
It's actually not that bad. I tasted it. It's not too bad.
See, let me tell you something. That's not all Elvis would put on that thing.
No.
Why do you think he gained so much weight?
Hey, do you like peanut butter inside of the middle of your celery?
I don't eat celery. Look at me. Do I eat celery?
He just told us chili and in a peanut butter sandwich.
Peanut butter on a hamburger, though?
You know who has a great peanut butter on everything. You know who has a great peanut butter burger? I'm telling you, I just had it for lunch the other day, and it's one of our clients. It's a J&G Grill. I'm telling you, man, it is amazing.
Taking peanut butter and put it on a hot dog.
Amazing, Chris. No, don't knock it till you try it. It's really good.
I don't know, dude.
Really good.
That's an interesting take.
Yes, we're going to take a break, come back, and talk more about food after this on Z Country 99.9.
Big Z Sports on 99.9 WTUZ. You're with Big Z Sports on 99.9 WTUZ.
You had a blue jean jacket, burn CD, said you want to go somewhere fast with me. I picked you up. We turned it up. You had a broke heart necklace, post game smile, J-Town front page news for a while. Then we broke up, but I still turned it up. Cheerleading skirts and back seats, free
for. Welcome back into the Big Z Sports Show on Z Country 99.9. Joe Geckler, Chris Kale, Eric McElroy, live in the Benchmark Construction Studios. If you want to participate in the program, jump on Facebook, WTUZ Big Z Sports, on Twitter at @big_Z Sports, and of course our Weaver Appliance text line 330-339-9399. Quick update in the Big Ten tournament. Just under a minute to go in the first half. Penn State now leads Ohio State 33-30. Penn State's been on a little bit of a run here as we were in break, but they are up three with just under a minute. It looks like Kata Bates-Diop was fouled going to the hoop there, but we'll see what happens here. Coming up,
it's a clean block.
It looked clean to me. I think they called a foul on him. Yeah, they called a foul. But again, big thank you tonight to Jamie Herman, India Valley basketball coach, Cade Williams, Connor McGuire, and Ryan Berger for joining us, Dave Shutt from Garaway, and of course, Bob Von Kennel from Dover.
Wait, aren't you going to ask? You do every other week.
What?
Who was that? Who's that?
Oh, I have no idea.
Bumper music.
He's letting it flow. He's letting it breathe.
Every time I ask and I think who it is, I look stupid. So I'm just going to be quiet. Like,
that's why I was like, wait for it. He's going to ask.
Come on. I've already looked silly once asking the guy if he was injured this year when I thought he was injured. I felt like an
that
idiot.
That was awesome.
Well, since Chris, you asked, that was Brandon Lay, newcomer.
Who? Nice.
It's called Speakers, Bleachers, and Preachers.
Who schedules the music on this station?
That is
goodness
it.
Gracious.
Wow. it's only a top 40 hit.
I'm just kidding.
I'm leaving. No, I'm kidding.
Alrighty then.
Well, the Cavaliers, you know, we've been talking about the Cleveland Cavaliers all night and asking, are they in trouble?
No.
Well, I don't think the Cavaliers are in trouble. There was one Cavalier that's in trouble, but I think he's passed that suspension.
Oh, my God.
But let's talk about that? Let's talk about the Cavs real quick, guys. You know, 3-3 in their last six. You know, not playing bad basketball by any means.
What do you expect, though, all these newcomers?
But
you know?
But the playbook is very limited, you know, and I think Ty Lue mentioned it earlier in the week, and he said they just don't have a lot of plays right now because everybody's new and they don't know the playbook. So it's very, very predictable.
Basketball is maybe one of the easier sports to get traded mid-season and go to a different team. I mean, because basketball, at the end of the day, a screen is a screen, a pick and roll is a pick and roll.
The easiest is baseball.
The language and the vernacular is just a little bit different. I mean, Larry Nance Jr. the other night for defense was calling out some term that they used in L.A., and Jordan Clarkson knew what he meant, but nobody else knew what he meant. That's just the thing they're going to have to deal with right now. The thing that bothers me a little bit is defense still seems to lack a little bit. No rim protectors. Even Tristan the other night was getting schooled by Embiid all night long. And then Larry Nance got in foul trouble a little bit. It wasn't much of a factor. But the defense seems to still be a problem for the Cavs. They gave a 123 to the Nets the other night.
Yes, they
123
did.
Points.
Yeah, that's another thing it's making me scratch my head a little bit is the defense, and they haven't been playing well on a defensive end, but you know they got a guy that averaged a triple double for the month of February, and almost gets another one last night, but falls short.
Yeah, 39 and 8.
Yeah, and with LeBron, of course, and you know it's. Their offense, and we'll go back to that for a second, but their offense is very predictable, as I'm saying, because at the end of games, you know what I still see? I still see, oh, clear out the side of the floor. LeBron's going to go one-on-one. That's not basketball. I mean, I understand what he's trying to do and to take somebody to the hole and get 2 points, or he pulls up and tries to shoot a three, which he's not very good at. And, I mean, just play your game. Don't go ISO and don't go one-on-one because it's very predictable. Oh, absolutely.
They stay and watch.
Last night, Cleveland versus Philadelphia. The 76ers beat the Cavs at the Q, 108-97. We gave you LeBron's numbers. Joel Embiid had a game, 17 points, 14 boards. Ben Simmons had 18. Guys, did we see LeBron's new team last night?
What?
Did we see his new team last night?
No,
we didn't see his new team.
Those were the hot rumors all week long.
No. I know. I mean, LeBron going to Philly. I said earlier in the year that I think he was going to leave. I kind of revert now. I kind of renege on that. I think that he's going to end up staying because I think they brought in a good core around him. As long as they bring all those guys back, I think that, you know, he's going to stick around. I think it's a good group, and it's a younger group. Larry Nance Jr. had a nice game last night. He had 13 points and 7 boards. I think that they – I don't think they're in trouble by any means. They're 7.5 back of Toronto, 7 back of Boston. It doesn't matter. What did we say a couple years ago when Boston was old? Chip in a seat. It doesn't matter if this team is the 6 seed, the 3 seed, the 1 seed. They're going to have their shot to get to the Eastern Conference Finals. There's no doubt about that. So
what if they fall all the way down to the 8 seed and it's Boston and
I mean,
although Boston's not even the number 1 seed. Yeah. Right.
And by the way, did you see Gordon Hayward is practicing now?
That doesn't mean anything.
And he is coming back?
I hope
right?
he does.
They're saying in the beginning
you know
of
what?
April.
Bring it. How about this?
Bring it. Love it.
I hope he does.
I do too.
No J.R. Smith last night. Don't know if he's well fed or not. Don't know if he made a peanut butter sandwich with whatever soup he was eating. But he was suspended for literally, folks, throwing a bowl of soup at a Cavs assistant coach.
Did he have a soda on the side?
I don't know. Well, options on Facebook for the poll question brought to you by Parkway Ford and Lincoln Superstore. Was it A, chicken noodle, vegetable soup is option B, C, tomato soup, or D, good old-fashioned minestrone? Which one of those did he throw it? Head coach Damon Jones. Also, was it in a bowl? Is it confirmed it was in a bowl and warmed up already? Was it in a can? Just Campbell's Chunky in a can? I have no clue. I need answers.
I'm going with chicken noodle soup.
That's your answer?
Yes.
You know what? Since it's really the one I like out of all of them, I guess I'll go with chicken noodle too.
Yeah, I'm going to go with chicken noodle because that's the most common, especially cold winter day like it was in Cleveland, getting snow and all that kind of stuff.
But, I mean, what's he doing? He's got a microwave in the locker room. He says, hey guys, you go ahead and have your meeting. I'm going to heat me up a bowl of soup right quick.
It was right after shoot around. He wanted a little meal. Hey, are the Cavs in trouble, Joe Geckler? Yes. It's not their year. No, they'll figure it out.
They'll figure it out. They're not in trouble.
Chris Kale?
Yeah, I already just said that. I think they'll figure it out. They'll be fine. Chip
50,
in a seat.
53% of you say no, they'll figure it out. 47% say yes, not their year. I'm still with the folks that say they're going to figure it out, but I'm beginning to get more worried and worried as the season goes on.
Just remember, the trade deadline has passed, but we're going to get a superstar back here in a couple weeks. So don't forget about that.
Yeah, Kevin Love, we'll miss his 19 points and 11-12 rebounds a game.
Nice. So you guys get a superstar back, and so do we. Cool.
But our superstar is healthy and can play. The other one has a broken ankle that was turned the opposite direction that he's not going to be healthy on.
You must not have seen some video.
Cavaliers tomorrow versus Denver, Monday versus Detroit, Wednesday at Denver, Friday at the L.A. Clippers, then a week from this coming Sunday at the L.A. Lakers.
Yeah, that'll be interesting for the Cavs. And again, it'll be interesting to see how they continue to gel as a team and going forward. Again, at halftime, the Buckeyes trail Penn State 33-32.
Yikes.
In the Big Ten tournament. Again, Tony Carr for the Penn State has 14 and no leading scores for the Buckeyes on the screen as I can see. But 33-32, Penn State over Ohio State at halftime. We're going to take a quick timeout. Come back after this on Z Country 99.9.
Big Z Sports on 99.9 WTUZ.
Welcome back into the Big Z Sports Show on 99.9 WTUZ, also streaming online at WTUZ.com. Join the show through the text line or email us, but right now, joining us, very special guest, first-timer on the Big Z Sports Show to talk about the Cleveland Indians, senior writer for The Athletic there in Cleveland. You can also find him on Twitter, at Zach Meisel. Of course, it is Zach Meisel. Zach, how are you?
Doing well. How's it going?
Doing well today. How's the weather in Arizona, by the way? It's got to be better than here.
You know, it's been chillier than normal here, and today was like our first, I think it might be our first 70-degree day, which was good because I was running out of pants and laundry, so well, much needed.
Well, it's a lot better than 33 like it is here.
Yeah, but there were a couple days where it was warmer in Cleveland than it was in Goodyear. And normally it's always fun to boast to the people back home, and it's just we haven't been able to do it as often.
Yeah, we know how Mother Nature, we know what she does to us here in Northeast Ohio. Spring so far down there, Indians 5-2 in Cactus League. Zach, what can we really take from spring training, and what have you taken from what you've seen so far?
Well, you want to be careful. You don't want to take too much. You don't want to look at someone's statistics and fall in love and then just project that they're going to have the greatest season of all time. Because there are so many different things that are happening that you don't just see looking at the box score. So you don't know if a pitcher is going out one day and just throwing fastballs because they want to work on fastball command. And, well, if you're doing that, then the batters are eventually going to figure out, okay, he's only throwing fastballs. This should be pretty easy to hit. There are days when you have your best hitters facing 19-year-old pitchers who are slated for A-ball. So you don't want to take too much from it. But I think the main thing is that, A, you want to, if you're the team wants everyone to stay healthy. B, you want guys to just get in positions where they're feeling good about themselves. They're confident. So that's where if you're a player and you're having some success, you see a few hits drop in. If you're a pitcher and you are able to find the strike zone consistently, like those sorts of things, that can go a long way just so that you're in the best state of mind entering the season. But really, I don't want to say spring training is a waste, but it's you want to be careful not to just fall into that trap of looking at some stats and comparing and contrasting to figure out who should make the roster and who shouldn't. It's a tricky thing for a month out here.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great point, which we all do, because we were sitting around here earlier thinking about, okay, this guy will make the roster, and look at so-and-so, he's playing well. I mean, we all do it in spring training. How worried are you about the loss of Carlos Santana, not only his numbers, but his presence there in the clubhouse?
Yeah, not too much. You know, I think Yonder Alonso is a good fit, and I think more just there are guys who can fill some of what Santana did. And I mean, when you have guys, we spend a lot of energy on what the team lost, and I get it, because it was like a mass exodus with all the free agents signing elsewhere, and the Indians didn't sign a ton of guys. But we tend to overlook sometimes just, okay, well, what could Bradley Zimmer do in year two? What could Yonder Alonso do in year two of having these major changes in his swing and his approach at the plate? What might Yandy Diaz do with a little bit of experience under his belt? So I think we tend to just look at past results and think that because they're a certain player isn't here anymore, there's going to be nothing that fills that void, when I think Alonso can do a decent enough job at first base, and you might have some other younger guys step up. So I think he'll be missed just because he was such an on-base presence, and he drew a ton of walks, and that's hard to do. But I do think there are enough other spots around the diamond where guys can improve or hold their own to sort of minimize that loss.
You know, Zach, if you look at the Indians over the last couple of years, Michael Brantley has not been healthy. He's coming off an injury-plagued season last year. He's coming into spring, and I saw a tweet from you today that he's doing some more rehabbing, lateral movements and stuff. How is the rehab going with Michael Brantley, and what can we expect from him in the outfield this season?
Well, it's going to be pivotal. I mean, they committed $12 million to him, and they did it so early in the offseason that it kind of cornered them into having to make Brantley their everyday left fielder once he is healthy. So I do know Francisco Lindor watched Brantley take live batting practice about a week ago and was blown away. Couldn't believe by how just healthy Brantley looked and how he was hitting and swinging. And he said if he didn't know better, he wouldn't have known Brantley was injured. So the lateral movement stuff, the defensive drills he's doing now are kind of the last step. He's hit, he's thrown, he's run. The one thing he hasn't done is that agility stuff. That stuff where when you are in left field and you're playing, you don't know if a ball is going to take a weird hop and you're going to have to turn on a dime to go corral it. You don't know if when you're on the bases, if you're going to maybe start to steal and then change your mind and have to slide back into first base. So stuff like that is basically the last step that he's currently on, and then he should be able to play in some games. So his opening day status is certainly in jeopardy, but I think the Indians feel like even if he is sidelined to start the year, he won't be out long, and he'll be able to contribute from left field on an everyday basis after that.
Zach Meisel, senior writer for The Athletic in Cleveland, also works very closely and writes for the Cleveland Indians, which, of course, what we're talking about right now. Zach, the success of this team this year, does it strictly ride on the health of Kip and Brantley, also the health of the pitching staff?
Yeah, that's, I mean, those two guys, they're veterans. They've been around a long time, and they're, I mean, there's a reason why they're the highest paid, two of the highest paid guys on the roster. And if you look elsewhere, the starting rotation is the reason this team has been a trendy pick over the last few years to make some noise. And it's when you get to October, what's the mantra we always hear is pitching wins championships. Pitching helps you in the playoffs. And so even though they've lost some guys, it really starts with that rotation, which was the best in baseball last year by a mile, and they needed to be that good again this year. And not only that, but they needed to perform well in October. You need Corey Kluber to pitch like he did 2 years ago in the playoffs and not like he did against the Yankees. So those sorts of things, and then obviously with Kipnis and Brantley, it's instrumental. They have some guys that can fill in, but based on what Kipnis and Brantley have given you in the past, if they can return to that all-star type form, I mean, that goes such a long way.
We're counting on them, though, aren't we? We're counting on them this year. Both of them.
Yeah, and it's. I mean, you look at the lineup, too, and it's, yeah, you could rely on Tyler Naquin, and you could rely on Yandy Diaz or Giovanni Urshela more. Like guys like that, they have pieces, they have contingency plans, but you just think about, if those two veterans are right, if they're healthy, I mean, that completely changes the lineup. Imagine a lineup with those two guys performing well, plus Lindor and Ramirez, who have now all of a sudden they're power hitters and they're MVP finalists, and Encarnacion. I mean, there's a lot of potential there.
Zach, you mentioned the starting rotation just a little bit ago. Let's talk about that bullpen. You lose Brian Shaw, Joe Smith in the offseason. Talk about what from their bullpen. Obviously, you got that stalwart and Andrew Miller coming back. But what else can we expect from the bullpen?
Yeah, I think this is where there's some questions, some concerns. You have Andrew Miller and Cody Allen, which is as good of a duo as there is in baseball. But they're both free agents after this season. So the Indians are a little unsure of how they're going to eventually replace those guys. It's not something anyone in the clubhouse is thinking about right now since they have a season in front of them. But there are questions just because, first, we don't know who's going to replace Brian Shaw and Joe Smith. They've got a collection of four or five guys with Dan Otero, Nick Goody, Tyler Olson, who didn't give up a run last season in limited action, and Zach McAllister. And if those guys can solve that sixth and seventh inning, that would go a long way, but it's going to be interesting to see. I mean, they didn't really address it with any major signings this year, and you're going to have your two best guys come off the books next year. Obviously, they have a chance at re-signing probably one of them, but there are questions long-term and I think some smaller questions short-term with the bullpen, which has been rock solid for the last couple of years, really, ever since they got Andrew Miller.
One surprise in spring here, Zach, is Richie Schaefer. Is this one guy that can maybe surprise others and make this roster, or is he kind of, I mean, the odd man out?
He's an interesting study. He's got a ton of power. He can play first, third base. He's had some experience in the corner outfield. He actually was in the major leagues with Tampa Bay a few years ago. He's blocked right now. I mean, he's probably behind Jose Ramirez, Yandy Diaz on the depth chart, but He's if he goes to Columbus at AAA, I mean, he even said it the other day, you never know what can happen. You have to stay ready for an opportunity. And he's demonstrated he can hit for a ton of power. He can field his position pretty well. So there is a lot to like there, and it's always good to have some depth.
Zach, we mentioned Schaefer there. Also, a couple other minor leaguers that are knocking on the major league doorstep, and that's the catcher Francisco Mejia and Bobby Brantley, the first baseman. How close are they to joining the big club, and is that something the Indians fans can be excited about?
Well, Mejia came up for September last year, and I don't think we really got to see what he's capable of. But he's 22 years old. He's like a little pint-sized catcher who Jose Ramirez says is the best hitter on the roster. So he's proven in the minor leagues he can hit with his eyes closed, and it's with him, I think he'll be up at some point this year. It just depends what position, because the Indians have two catchers who are signed or under contract long term. So they're going to have to find a spot, whether it is a catcher, maybe designated hitter, he steals some at bat. But he'll force his way onto the roster at some point this year. With Bradley, he's been this big power hitter since they drafted him a few years ago, and seemed like the heir apparent at first base one day, and then this offseason he dropped 30 pounds. He cut down his strikeout total by 50 last year, so he's made some changes they're really excited about. And now he seems like, Edwin Encarnacion's under contract this year and next year. Yonder Alonso's under contract this year and next year, and so it would seem Bradley's time would probably come once those one or both of those two guys are gone in a couple seasons.
Hey, your opinion, you think Mike Napoli makes the team, or is he there basically maybe for just a tryout for another team?
No, I don't think he does, unless someone gets injured. He's basically here to audition and provide a veteran presence in the clubhouse for the next, 4 weeks? It's kind of just like a handshake agreement. The Indians know it might come back to haunt them in a way, just because he might make another team and come back and hit some home runs against the Indians, but they think it's worth it just because of what he did in the past for them and just how good of a presence he is with the other guys in the clubhouse.
Zach, let's switch gears real quick and turn to the other team there in Arizona that I like is the Cincinnati Reds. They share a field and a training complex with the Indians. But the Reds coming off some serious questions about their starting rotation and their middle infield. Zach Cozart leaves for Anaheim. But, what's the biggest concern coming into this season for the Cincinnati Reds?
I think they're in an interesting spot along the rebuilding path because, like, Cozart leaving, they're okay with that because it's time for young guys to come up and get their feet wet. And so if you're the Reds front office, this is kind of the time you've been waiting for where some of the veterans go. Obviously, Joey Votto is the centerpiece of that roster, and he's going to see this probably the whole way through. But it's you kind of shed some of those bigger contracts. You had the veterans around just to hold down the fort, and now it's time to get the young guys up and let them play. And so it's exciting, but at the same time, you're going to go through some growing pains. And I think Votto touched on this too, where you don't want to have young guys come up, struggle, and because there's no one else on the roster, because you lost a guy like Cozart, because there are other, you're lacking some other veterans, there's nothing you can do. And so you just kind of, you struggle with it, and that can really hurt your confidence if you are a young player. So it's just going to be interesting to see how that process plays out. Where you do have these young guys and this is where you start to learn how long before you can actually contend again. When these young guys come up, how long is it going to take them to gel? How long is it going to take them to make adjustments and to basically just learn how to stick in the major leagues and how to succeed? And once you figure that out, then you can kind of put some puzzle pieces together to figure out, okay, well, they only need this and this before they can be a legitimate contender. And so it's I know Reds fans have been through some painful seasons recently, but I think you are on track to be in that exciting part of a rebuilding process. And there are definitely brighter days ahead.
Not as painful as Browns fans and some seasons we've endured there, Zach. Hey, when you come back, when you heading back up north? Once are you there
I
the whole time?
Back. I have a 2-week break that starts in the middle of next week.
Gotcha. All right. Well, hey, we'll definitely make sure we catch up before the start of the regular season. Enjoy the rest of your time down there, Zach, and we'll catch up again. Zach Meisel, The Athletic, senior writer for The Athletic in Cleveland. Find him on Twitter. It's at Zach Meisel, M-E-I-S-E-L. Zach, thanks a lot, man.
You got it, guys. Thanks.
Big Z Sports on 99.9 WTUZ.
Yeah, the record just stopped spinning. You and me too busy kissing. And George Jones to the B-side, flip it. Oh, yeah.
Welcome back into the Big Z Sports Show. Chris Kale, Joe Geckler, Eric McElroy with you in our last segment here on the show. The Ohio State Buckeyes not playing very well in the third, or in the, I should say, I was going to say a third quarter, but it'd be the second half. It'd be a third quarter if it was high score. NBA ball, but regardless, they're down five.
And good thing the listeners cannot hear us talk in the off the air we during the break. It was it was not good and probably not arable. So
it was not.
Anyway, the Big Z Sports Show on Z Country and last segment, like Chris mentioned, a little yay or nay, right, it's, Eric McElroy?
You guys, it's been a while.
It's been a long while.
Hey, before you do that,
what do you have?
How about a quick hockey update?
Oh, jeez.
As long as it doesn't include that team out east.
The Penguins got pounded last night by Boston, 8-4. They play the Islanders on Saturday.
Columbus lost two last night.
There are 3 points behind
the Metro leading. But 8-4 in hockey is like 42-6 in football.
Capitals. And the Blue Jackets are 10 points behind Washington in the Metro. And they are in wild card position. And, yes, they did lose as well.
I could have gone without that.
Okay.
I'm going to lose sleep.
Yeah, NASCAR this weekend at Las Vegas.
Definitely can go without that.
You guys ready for yay?
Yay.
Okay, but that's both a correct answer by both of you. All right, first, let's start with a question. Numero uno, the Big Ten tourney, it's early. Do you guys like that or no? Yay or nay?
Yay.
Nay.
Nay.
I don't like
Why
it.
Is it so early? We have to sit here and wait
there's,
around.
There's
the
two
next
reasons.
Week, all these conference tournaments are going
there's
on.
There's two reasons why it's early. Because the NFL Combine is in Indianapolis right now, and that's where the Big Ten Championship usually is. And plus, the Big Ten decided that they wanted 1 year for the Big Ten Tournament to be in a New York market, so they went there. But they had to hold it this week, for one, because of the NFL Combine, and for two, the Big East Tournament is at the Madison Square Garden next week.
They still hold it there, even though the Big East isn't what the Big East used to be back in the day?
So next year, it'll go back to normal, probably Indianapolis or Chicago, one other way.
The favorite in the Big Ten Tourney will win it, which is Michigan State. They're going to take this
thing?
Nay.
And who's winning it?
Purdue.
You think so?
I think so. Well, Purdue's playing very well because we're playing our kryptonite right now.
Purdue and Rutgers later on tonight, and Ohio State and Penn State now. 15 minutes left, second half. Buckeyes down by 5, 40-35. All right, now we'll swing to the NBA. The NBA most valuable player will come from the Western Conference, yay or nay?
Yay.
The NBA's most valuable player? Come from the West? Yes. Yay.
Who's that going to be?
I believe it's going to be the Beard.
Will be him this year, even though he got more help and Chris Paul and everything else.
He's tough.
Dude. And real quick, about the Beard, somebody made a big deal, or everybody was making a big deal about that crossover the other night. Mm-hmm. Can I tell you something? That was an offensive foul. Dude shoved him off with his right forearm. That is a foul. They never call it.
It was still funny.
No, it wasn't. It was a foul.
It was funny.
He pushed him with his right forearm.
I didn't watch it that closely.
Yeah, he took like four steps.
I didn't watch it that close. I saw it a couple times. I don't know if he fouled or not.
Why'd you just push me?
It was still a pretty nasty crossover. Will the MVP come from the West?
Yeah.
Yay, probably. Who will it be? Maybe KD or the Beard, like you guys said. LeBron, sadly, will probably be like third or fourth on that list, which, I mean... Respect greatness, people. Respect LeBron.
It's the same thing. Urban never wins Coach of the Year.
Yeah.
Because he's expected to do what he does.
Will we see a four-peat in the NBA Finals this year? Yay or nay?
I'm going to say nay.
Nay.
And I'm going to stick to it.
The first time you said nay to that question, Joe.
I know.
By the way.
I've just changed my mind on that. But the thing is I don't think that it's not Cleveland that's not going to make it. I think Golden State's not going to make it.
Whoa, correct. Hey now.
I think Houston is really good.
I still don't think they beat Golden State in a 7-game series. I'm still going to say we see a four-peat this year.
As long as Harden shows up and plays defense, I think the Rockets can make it. I really do.
So yay is my answer to that. So who do you see in the finals then, Chris?
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think that I like Houston out there as well.
Well, there's a team that comes from the East, too.
Yeah, I mean...
Well, you know who he wants.
I mean, it's a difference of wanting and obviously being able to sit back and look at it and say, who do you really think is going to be there without showing any bias? And I think it's probably is Cleveland. I don't think Boston's there yet, even if they get Hayward back. I think they're a year away. But I think that if Hayward was there all year,
I might have a different story, but right now I still say it's Cleveland.
Yay or nay, LeBron James will stay in Cleveland at the end of the 2018 regular season.
I say it depends on that draft pick. If it's a top five pick, he stays. If it's not, he leaves.
I say regardless, yay.
Yeah, I'm leaning towards yay. You look at the landscape, where else is he going to go? And it's not gonna,
anywhere he wants.
He's not, yeah, true. But, I mean, he wants to contend for a championship.
Then he'll go to Golden State.
That's not going to happen. But if he does stay, it's not going to be like a multi-year deal, just another one-year deal, and he'll keep the pressure on the Cavs. Hey, we just talked to Zach Meisel a little bit ago from The Athletic in Cleveland about the Tribe. The Indians, I'm not going to hold you to this, but I want to hear your take right now. Will the Indians, yay or nay, will they win the AL Central again this year? Make it three in a row.
Yay.
Yay.
No one going to contend with them.
No. Their pitching's too good.
What about Minnesota? They made noise last year.
Nah, I think the Indians go back to the World Series, I think.
Wow.
They should have done it. They should be 3 years in a row.
I think the Indians are the cream of the crop in the Central, and I don't think anybody's there to touch them. I think Minnesota peaked a little early. Let's see if they can do that again this year. But I think the Indians, with their pitching staff, they're 1-5. Is as good as anybody in the league.
Yeah, but the thing is, they have to stay healthy, and that's kind of the key. I say yay, Tribe wins the AL Central. Their window's closing, though, for that World Series title. Will Kipnis and Brantley for the Tribe remain healthy this year? Yay or nay? When I say healthy, no injuries that put them on the DL.
At all, period?
At all.
Nay.
Nay.
I'm going nay, too. I don't trust Brantley. I trust Kip to maybe stay healthy. I just can't trust Michael Brantley.
Now, Kip was on a couple times last year, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Pretty much the whole season.
Yeah, Kip was, yeah. And then Brantley was on, he was pretty much, yeah, I don't think.
The whole season again.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I'd love to see them both healthy, see them do some damage, but I don't think it's, I mean, they both had injuries that can linger for a long time, especially with the ankle, with Brantley and the shoulder.
Hey, the NFL Draft Combine, you mentioned it, Joe, going on in Indianapolis. The draft is in April. We'll start doing mocks here in about 3 weeks. So you guys better start gearing up for our mock drafts. The Browns, yay or nay, will take a quarterback at number one. I want to hear from Chris Cale first.
Nay.
Who are they
taking? They're going to draft the best player in the draft, and he showed it again today in the NFL Combine in Indianapolis. The dude is an absolute beast.
That dude
is a franchise changer. And that's Saquon Barkley from Penn State.
Okay, Chris. I mean, I like Barkley a lot. And I'm going to ask you the last time a Penn State running back did anything in the NFL.
Doesn't matter. Name them.
Doesn't
matter. I mean, I don't.
Yeah, history doesn't matter there. I don't really care about
that. It's kind of been a bug that's hit Penn State. I mean, they've had big-time running backs come out. Curtis Enos, Kajana Carter. I mean, there's been others. And Larry Johnson, remember, he came out. He had a couple of good years.
Kajana Carter didn't do too bad for a couple of years.
Oh, he blew his knee out.
I think the first game he ever played. I think Saquon Barkley is probably the best player in the draft, but I still don't think the Browns take him number one overall. They'll go with quarterback. They'll have the choice.
I was just talking to Chris, and you were outside smoking, and I think
thanks for putting me on blast.
Oh, sorry. You were outside. But I think what's going to happen is the first two picks for the Browns, because I think they have a quarterback that they have as a veteran that they can lure in and not spend as much money on him as they're going to have to if they take a quarterback number one or number four, and that's A.J. McCarron. He knows Hugh Jackson's system. He knows Zampezi, who the quarterback's coach is. Todd Haley did wonders with the Pittsburgh offense, and Chris, I know you don't like him, but they had great offenses while he was there. You mix that with a guy that already knows the system, he's not really having to come in and learn anything except his players. So you bring a McCarron in, and that frees you up for money, because again, like I said, you're not going to pay him $60 million guaranteed, because he's not worth that. But you're going to go after a running back and Saquon Barkley at number one, and then you're going to address the defensive side and get Minkah Fitzpatrick, that defensive back. 6'2", 210-pound corner is like a 6'5 wide receiver that can fly.
No matter what veteran quarterback the Browns get, if it would have been Alex Smith, if it's Kirk Cousins, or if it's A.J. McCarron, they're still drafting a quarterback.
I don't think so either. Why would you pay that
kind of money?
I mean, when you have a guy, he's only 26.
You're getting basically a first round pick in A.J. McCarron. So, I mean,
you're getting basically a first round pick.
Yeah, you're basically getting the same player.
You're getting a guy that's already had NFL experience.
If A.J. McCarron were in this draft, he'd be, in terms of the top four quarterbacks, you have Darnold, Rosen, Allen, Mayfield.
Based on when they came out, I think McCarron would be number three.
He'd be five right now.
I think he'd be ahead of Baker Mayfield.
Hey, last yay or nay, Steelers, Ryan Shazier, does he play again?
No, I don't think so.
He'll play in 19.
He wants to.
Yeah. He won't play next year, but he'll
play. Take that year off, it's tough, though. I just don't see it.
I mean, the guy can barely walk right now.
That's
let alone,
a tough question.
It's, you know, and it's a sad thing. I wish he was, but I just don't think. I think that ultimately it's going to be about his health, and he could be paralyzed or die if he ever plays again. And I just don't
Oscar, Sunday, yay or nay?
Heck no.
I'll be on my way back from Virginia.
Heck no.
I'll channel flip, so a little yay.
No.
Buckeyes down two.
46-44, just under 12 to go. Second half, they've cut back into a 9-point lead from Penn State. Buckeyes battling away. We'll see if they can do it. It's on the Big Ten Network. Tune it in after our show goes off here. Big thank you tonight to Dover basketball coach Bob Von Kennel, Indian Valley head basketball coach Jamie Herman and his three players, Connor McGuire, Ryan Berger, and Cade Williams. Again, Dave Shutt, thank you very much for joining us here on the Big Z Sports Show. And again, Zach Meisel from TheAthletic.com out of Cleveland for joining us here to talk Indians baseball and so much more. And we'll be back next Friday night right here on Z Country. Joe Geckler, Chris Kale, and Eric McElroy. Don't forget to check out our podcast in the middle of the week next week. It'll be on WTUZ, Big Z Sports on Facebook, at Big Z Sports, at Big underscore Z Sports on Twitter. And, of course, our website, WTUZ.com. You can check that out next week. For Chris and Eric, I'm Joe Geckler saying thanks for listening to this week's edition of the Big Z Sports Show right here on Z Country, 99.9. Go Bucks.
Tonight's Big Z Sports Show has been presented by TMK Valley Propane, Michael Taylor Allstate Insurance Agency, Chuck Nicholson GMC Mazda, Kine Lumber, Parkway Superstore, Benchmark Construction, and Action Extreme Sports. We hope you enjoyed the show. Make sure you follow Big Z Sports on Facebook and Twitter, and be sure to join us next time for Big Z Sports. But in the meantime, guard your vitals. Z Country, 99.9 WTUZ, Uritzville, New Philadelphia.